Okay, it's so nice to see all of you here, and I'd like to thank each of you who brought me here and worked hard, Rabbi Abrams, Yehuda Abrams, and everybody else who worked in collaboration. Thank you very much for bringing us all together, and I hope that together we'll make good things happen in Dallas and throughout the world as we produce young women who are strong in leading Klal Yisrael into the future. I was asked to speak about maintaining spiritual growth. So you know that this time of Sfirat HaOmer, when we count the Omer from Pesach until Shavuot, is a time of particular spiritual growth. So we count seven sevens. And since there are so many faces here that were not there earlier, maybe I'll repeat a drop of the words that I said during the dinner that preceded this lovely dessert. We have seven sevens that culminate in the holiday of Shavuot. And Shavuot means weeks, so it is the holiday of 7 weeks that follow Pesach. But seven means something else also. Seven is the inner dimension. So we have six, if you look at a cube, there are six sides of the cube, and then the inner dimension, which is Shabbat. And so seven is the entirety of the natural world, and you see that in the number seven also, because Sheva is also, if you put the dot on the other side of the sin, sova, it means wholeness or completion, like v'achalta v'savata v'arachta, you're full and satisfied. So seven is a fullness. We see seven notes in the scale and seven colors in the rainbow. Seven represents fullness. And eight is the realm above that. So seven represents nature, and eight represents the realm above nature. And if you take the word eight, shmona in Hebrew, and rearrange the letters of shmona, you get nishama, soul. So 8 is the realm of the soul. And 50, the day of Shavuot, 50 is like a super 8, because that's after 7 sevens. So after 7 sevens comes the realm of the Torah. That's when we got the Torah. So in this holiday of Shavuot, of weeks, of wholeness, of completion, we also have promises. Because a promise is also in the root of Sheva. It's the same root. And the promise of a Jewish education is the promise of the ability to access that inner realm, to access that upper realm, and to grow forth and to shine a light. So with that, I want to discuss how we grow into that and the pathway of growth from Pesach until Shavuot and how we can keep it going. So really we have to ask, how do we start it in the first place? Because yes, we're on a path of growth, but we're still catching our breath, at least I am, from Pesach. I'm finding my last few dishes and trying to put them back in place, because while there is a deadline for getting all the chametz out of the house, there's no deadline for putting it back together afterwards. So until you need that peeler or that piece from the food processor, you don't go to the basement to find it. It takes a while to recover. Not to mention all the meals from all the guests. And so we're on this pathway of spiritual growth, and actually the pathway of Sfirat HaOmer, which I'll talk to the girls about more tomorrow, is a double pathway. We're counting up from the depths of 49 levels of Tumah, and starting from zero up to the heights of 49 levels before Shavuot. So I'm not going to go into that, and that's a different pathway, but what I want to talk about is maintaining. So let's assume that we've started a pathway of spiritual growth. How would we maintain it? Maintenance is a difficult thing to get through the year. So we're not exactly, but kind of juxtaposed here with Rosh Hashanah. So I'm going to give you three T's, which match up with Tefillah, Tshuva, and Tzedakah, but also Torah takes you there. Torah takes you there. Three T's. So, and afterwards, I'll give you all my little cheat card that I made that I didn't want you to read before, but I made copies for after, but not enough. I didn't think there'd be so many people. But you're welcome to take these home. So Torah takes you there. Three T's to maintaining spiritual growth. So the first T of the Torah, you really have to look inside the Torah and see what does it offer. So the first tool for spiritual growth maintenance is tefillah, no question about it. But not just tefillah, any kind of tefillah, but specifically in this case, asking. Make a request. You can't grow without help. Tefillah is the tool that takes you from one level to the next, even if you can't see the next level. One time I was walking in Long Beach, and I had just learned this concept from Tehillah Yeager, and she described how tefillah is what takes you to a level that you can't see. You can't see into that level. And I wasn't sure exactly what she meant. I made my bracha already, so don't think I'm not thinking. So I'm walking with a friend of mine who came for Shabbos, and our two teenage daughters are behind us. And in Long Beach, Long Island, it's a community that was built in the early teens or the early 1900s. Lovely old mansions falling apart. So we're walking past these beautiful mansions on our way to shul, and she says, I'd like that one. And I say, I'd like that one. So actually, I'd like that one. But for that one, I need $1 million. I need the house as a gift, plus $1 million, plus 2 in help. She says, well, I want that one. I didn't need $1 million, but I want 3 in help. So I said, 3 in help? What will you do with 3 in help? She said, well, I need a chauffeur. So her daughter from behind said, oh, Ma, what would you do with a chauffeur? You do your mending in the back of the car on the way to work? And I thought, here is a child who can't see levels ahead. I got the concept, because just like she couldn't really see into wealth, she couldn't even imagine that if her mother had a chauffeur, she wouldn't be, A, doing her mending, or probably having the chauffeur drive her to work, that it's a different world that she'd be living in. Her daughter couldn't imagine into that possibility. And we're the same thing with spirituality. We can see a level above us. We can see a neighbor that's careful in their minchah, that's careful in kavana, or somebody who's really good about the tzedakah that they do, or who excels in hachnasat orchim, whatever it is that they do, we can see a level above us. But we can't even perceive a few levels above us. It's just beyond us, we can't even see it. We don't know what it is that we're looking at. We don't have the receptor sites for it. So tefillah can bring us there. So I would like to share with you a tefillah that, for me, makes a difference in my life. And that is the verse that we say every day. I want to make this easy for you. Something that everybody pretty much says every day, whether it's in benching or in ashrei. Poteach et yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Here, of course, I wrote it, poteach es yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. But I want to teach this, or talk about this pasuk in 3 different ways. So you could have different kavanas depending on how you say it, when you say it. So the first one is, Poteach et yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Straightforward. Please, Hashem, open up your hand and grant every living being the things that it needs. It's desire. Every living being has desires. Please give us what we desire. So that's the pshat level. That's the basic level of that sentence, and you can have that in mind. But I learned from Rabbi Ben Zion Twersky a second level. Poteach et yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Please, Hashem, open up your hand and grant me ratzon. Sometimes I don't even have the desire to grow. I don't feel like maintaining my course of spirituality. I'm parenting teens. It's not an easy course. Or I'm parenting toddlers. It's not an easy course. I had 6 kids in 7.5 years, and I babysat for 2 full time. So I basically had 8 kids in the house under 8. And then if they would just end, then they, as they moved up in the spectrum, I babysat for those 2 other kids for 5 years. So I had that troop of 8 for a long time. If each one would bring a friend, or if half would bring a friend, that's 10 or 12 for dinner every single night for years, and all the parenting that goes with that. My husband's a lawyer, so he wasn't there for that. I'm technically a lawyerton. So, so this is my parenting job. So sometimes you get tired and you need the ratzon to get through it, to be patient, to work on yourself so that you can be spiritual in your physical, so that you can bring your physical, you can infuse your physical with your spiritual. So you need the ratzon for that. So you can say that pasuk and say, please Hashem, help me have the ratzon to desire what's correct. Help me desire to head in the right direction. But now, as a mother of young adults and teens, and it does get more challenging and deeply challenging, sometimes so hard that you can't even think of where you're going. So one day I was saying just that pasuk as a tefillah itself, just thinking about it, meditating on it as I was walking to shul. And when I bench, I open my hand when I say that pasuk. Poteach et yadecha. So I was opening my hand as I said, Poteach et yadecha. U'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. And I realized you could also concentrate, and this is Torah Deliza, so take it for what it's worth. You could also concentrate on poteach. We're asking Hashem to give us with an open hand, like teenagers and young adults ask. Not with a hand like this that says, I'll give you, but only if you do what I want. But it is an emulation of Hashem. That's one of the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. If you look in Tomer Devorah, the Hashem, Hashem concept is, Hashem is the same before we sin against him, and he's the same after. Hashem gives unconditionally. The same Hashem that gives us energy to say tefillah is the same Hashem that gives us energy to eat treif. He gives us the koach, he gives us the energy to do the good things and the bad things. He gives unconditionally to us. We get to choose. So we could think about, open up your hand and grant us that which we need. Now, when we're trying to be in spiritual relationship with Hashem, so then we are thinking, well, how can I be giving in my relationship with Hashem the same way I'm asking Hashem to give to me? What could I be doing to give nachas to my Creator? But we can think about in terms of emulating Hashem, Hashem gives with an open hand. How can we give to our growing children with an open hand? And think about how we can be with them without attaching so many strings. Yes, we want to. And, as a new mother-in-law, I know, strings don't go with the gift, or they shouldn't go with the gift. You're supposed to give the gifts without the strings. So that's the first tefillah that I work with in different ways. And I can say it at different times and think different thoughts, but the actual requesting for, please give me what I need, or please give me the desire to desire, or please give me openly, or please give me the ability to emulate you with giving openly. So that's the first tefillah in our three T's. The second tefillah that I often say is, and I say it before I give a class, before I give a lecture, before I counsel with somebody, Hashem sefatai tiftach, ufi yagid tehilatecha. Hashem, open up my lips and let my mouth say your praise. But if you say it in Hebrew, Hashem, open up my sefatai. So sefatai is my lips, but it also means boundaries, like the edge of an ocean. Sefatayam is the boundaries. So the kavana that you could have is, Hashem, I have places where I end. I've only grown this far, and then I'm done. But I need more to accomplish the mission that's in front of me. I have to go past that. So Hashem, please open up my boundaries and let me flow to places that I've never flowed to before. Please break down those barriers. And then with that energy, help me channel it and ufi yigiti latecha. And with that, then help me use all that energy that I should then say your praise. So when you need the extra strength and in parenting and teaching, in marriage, in growth, we need a lot of extra strength to go to places that we've never been to before. That's what growing is, going outside of our space and getting bigger. So to ask, Hashem, sifatai tiftach, open up my boundaries, and with that energy, let my mouth say your praise. And the third one is, what if you get tired? And I was thinking when I was saying the morning brachot, I actually got a bracha from a rav one time. I have been benched with children who've given me lots of occasions to learn. So you could read that however you want. So I've done a lot of growth through my children. And one time when it was particularly trying for several months, I went to Rav and got a bracha. And he said, you should say the bracha when in the morning, brachot, baruch hanotein le'ayif koach with extra kavana. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gives the yayif koach, not the ayif. It's not a morning bracha, thank you, Hashem, for giving tired people energy. Yayif is an exhaustion, sometimes almost a despair. It's a feeling of, how can I go on here? Yayif, it's very deep in the tiredness inside. Dealing with a child who's very difficult, or a situation who's very difficult, or a boss that's very difficult, or a health condition that's very difficult, or a financial situation that's very difficult. You can get yayif from that. So you need an extra koach. And I was thinking, when do we say that bracha? It's not in the beginning of that list. It's almost at the end of that list. It's after we say, thank you, Hashem, for giving Hanotein Li Tifara and Gvura, that you give us the extra strength, that you give us the extra power, that you've given us all these things. But now, and we come up to the end of that, we say, and it's given us this power as the Jew, and then we say that bracha. But what if I'm tired of carrying that load? What if it's really hard to be a Jew? What if it's really hard to carry the weight of leadership in the world? Because that's who we are, is the leaders of the whole planet. It's our job to lead a life that shows everybody how to live. We're supposed to live in families and in communities and work in a way that shines a bright light into the world. That's, everybody should look at us and say, wow, that's a Jew? How do they get that way? How are their communities like that? How are their families like that? How are their children like that? They should be asking questions because we shine so brightly. That's what an Or L'Goyim is. Something that shines so brightly that everybody can see it. A light unto the nations. And the answer when they ask the question will be Torah. That's how we get it. And people will come and learn Torah. But it's a heavy burden to live our lives on a daily basis in a way that shines brilliantly. And so we make this bracha. Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem for giving the Yayif Koach. Please give me the energy that I need to be able to go on. So those are three three brachas are three phrases that we say on a daily basis that we can infuse with extra kavana, depending on what we need in the situation, but to request extra energy to maintain our spiritual growth. The next T of our three T's is tshuva. This is not the tshuva, I'm not discussing the tshuva of repentance, but rather the tshuva of return. So the tshuva that we can experience on Shabbat, whose root is also tshuva, shav is the root of Shabbat, return, go back, reassess, reevaluate. We have 6 days that flow into Shabbos. That's one reason why we braid challah with 6 braids. 6 days of the week come together into one Shabbos. They all flow, so whatever we've worked on during those 6 days is made manifest on that day of Shabbos. But Shabbos, so Shabbos is the day of dwelling in with the other days of working towards. But Shabbos is the day that we're supposed to get back in touch with our goals. It's a taste of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the place where we dwell in, where we live in the relationship that we made. It's where we actually in it. The way I explain, we don't have heaven and hell, jokes notwithstanding. But what we do have is a next world in which we live in the relationship with Hashem that we created here. It could feel like heaven, though, or it could feel like hell, depending on the relationship that we created. Imagine for a moment that you've won a vacation, all expenses paid, to a deserted island with a lovely hotel and staff in the hotel. Just you and your spouse. If you're not married yet, imagine being married. You and your spouse. So here you are on this island, and there's nothing else to do. You have servants to take care of your every need. No other guests, it's just the two of you. If you have a great relationship with your spouse, it's fabulous. You're just basking in the glow of your relationship with nothing else to do, no meals to prepare, no cleaning up, no shopping. There's no distractions there at all. It's just you and your spouse, and it's fabulous. But if you have a terrible relationship with your spouse, you're living in hell. Because there's nothing else to do there. There's no meals to prepare, and nothing to clean up, and no shopping, and no preparation, and no distractions at all. It's the exact same environment, but depending on the relationship that you have, it's either heaven or hell. So the next world is completely dependent on what we create in this world. So what we want to do is think about, what are we trying to create? What is the world that we want to live in? What is the relationship that we want to have? So Shabbos is the time, and Yentif is the time. Rav Hirsch discusses that, think about this fraction for a minute, not 1/7 of our time through Shabbos, but if you include Yentif, 1/5 of our time is spiritual time. 1/5 of our year is Shabbos and Yentif. That's how we balance being in this physical world. We're spiritual beings who dip into a body for a certain amount of time, hopefully 120 years, and then we shed our body and we continue to be spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. We sometimes think of it as the opposite, that we have spiritual experiences, when in fact we are spiritual having a physical experience here. So if we're going to be spiritual having a physical experience, we have to ask, what's the purpose of this physical experience? What are we trying to accomplish here? And we can get so sidetracked in trying to put food on the table and some savings in the bank and put kids into college and keep the house clean and keep the cars running and whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, we can get completely off what we're trying to accomplish. So the second T is for tshuva, return to our goals. Take some time on Shabbos, take some time on Yontif, and think about, why am I here? What am I trying to build? And am I doing the right things? Let's reassess our goals and then reassess our means. Means sometimes lead to a goal, and sometimes we make mistakes where we think the means are the goal. And we can easily get sidetracked into thinking that the cooking that we're doing on Shabbos is about producing yummy food, when it's not. It's about producing a Shabbos environment. I once was cooking onions. I wanted to make an onion kugel, and I had about 10 onions chopped up, and I'm stirring them, stirring them. It takes about 45 minutes to get them caramelized to where you want them. I was in the bungalow colonies. I stepped out for a few minutes and I asked my 12-year-old, please stir the onions for me. They're on a low flame. Came back a few minutes later and the bottom was black. She stirred them, but not to the bottom. So it's burnt, and onions are sugary, so that it was burnt to a black, crackly crisp on the bottom, which ruined the flavor of everything on the top. And so as I threw it all away and I'm scraping, I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe it.
wasted all that time and all those onions, and I really want that kugel, so I'm just going to do it again, and I'm going to cut it up. It's so frustrating that I wasted. And then I realized, wait a second. When I first started cutting the onions, I said, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So really, the kavana was not, yes, it's nice if I also get a kugel, but the kavana was to spend time honoring Shabbos. And I accomplished that, even though I didn't get a kugel out of it. I still was being Shabbos Kodesh. So you have to keep in mind, what is the goal? The goal is to grow spiritually. The goal is to make something out of our physical world and make it a place, an arena in which we grow. And that leads me to my definition of the word mitzvah. So mitzvah, as you know, commandment, it also means a connector. So it comes from the root of the word, it's the same root as a plier, something that connects two disparate ends. So what does a mitzvah connect? A mitzvah connects the spiritual and the physical. A mitzvah, here's my definition, a mitzvah is a physical pathway to accomplish a spiritual end. That's the definition for all mitzvot. Because if you say good deed, tefillin aren't a good deed, right? If you say it's a spiritual thing, well, what are some of the things that we do? They're strange, like Shabbos, how's that spiritual? But if you understand that if we're wearing a physical body, and if we're trying to, through this body, affect our soul to grow our relationship, then there has to be physical pathways that we engage in with our body to accomplish spiritual means. That's what a mitzvah is, a physical pathway to accomplish a spiritual goal. So we want to think about, what's the physical pathway that we're on, and is it accomplishing the spiritual goals that we want to accomplish? So that's tshuva, return to our goals, reevaluate our means. Are our means accomplishing our goals? It doesn't have to be a long thought process, but it does have to be a regular thought process. If it's daily, that's fabulous, but at least weekly. The third one is tzedakah. In this case, I'm going to translate tzedakah as give. So give is the easy way to see. Of course, there's many different words you can give in the word tzedakah. But for this particular case, I want to say that we have a double pathway for transformation in the world, a double goal as a Jew. Transform self, transform world. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the goal of the Jew in a nutshell. Transform self, transform world. We transform the world through working on ourselves. We're not supposed to be preachers going out to the nations telling them how to live. We're supposed to be a light unto the nations. A light is somebody who's working on themselves and shines brightly, and through their bright shining, other people see and are attracted and come. But in order to transform ourselves, we need to transform the world. So through giving to others, through increasing our circle, through reaching out to others and sharing, we then transform ourselves. So it is a dual process. In order to grow ourselves, we have to grow others. We can't just be focused on ourselves. We can't be yogis in the Himalayas. I'm listening now to an interesting autobiography of a yogi. It's fascinating. But you can't just, and there is an expression, you can't just be in the Himalayas alone by yourself. That's not the Jewish pathway of growth. We don't seclude ourselves. We don't sequester ourselves. Our pathway to growth is through engagement. And that's why we have a body. If it was just about being sequestered so we could be a soul and do all the meditating we want to as a soul. But if we have a body, it's about engaging in the world. So we transform ourselves by engagement. Then the world is transformed, and that creates a different environment for us to live in. And so it's a double process. We transform ourselves by transforming the world. When we work on transforming in the world, that transforms ourselves. So our proactive engagement in self-transformation and world transformation feeds off of each other. So the third T in my three T's for Torah Takes You There is tzedakah, give, reach outside of yourself. And that also leads to what Rav Hirsch discusses in the concept of gadol hametzuva. I, by the way, did not look at my watch, so I'm hoping that I'm doing okay on time. Just flash me if I'm not, with your hand. Gadol hametzuva, in its easiest way to understand, means it's greater to do the commandment because you're commanded. So there's a classic question. Is it better to give tzedakah because you're kind, because you want to give, or because you're commanded? So you're giving because you're commanded. And the answer is because you're commanded. So a lot of people are confused by that. Why isn't it better if you're doing it because you're kind? But if you're doing it because you're kind, you're not reaching beyond yourself. You're only reaching to the limits of who you are. Great, you happen to be kind. So you give to the extent of your kindness. But if you do it because you're commanded, you can become bigger. Gadol hametzuva. You're actually larger than yourself because you've tapped into a system of commandment. Once you accept that there's something larger than you, goals that are larger than what you can see, ideas that are larger than what you can comprehend, and you say, I'm subject to this, I volitionally tap into this, you become enlarged thereby. Gadol hametzuva, the metzuva, the commanded one, is greater than the one who's not commanded because they grow through that. So in the giving, we attach ourselves to the klal so that we have that to the larger group of Israel. So we have that double process of growing ourselves through growing others through growing ourselves through the process of giving. So let's review for just a minute, and there's one more thought here. We want to make sure that we're davening and asking for help. We want to make sure that we're returning and revisiting our goals. We want to make sure that we're giving, and then we want to make sure that we're thankful. What do we want to make sure we're thankful for? We want to make sure that we're thankful that we still have room to grow, which means being thankful for our faults, being thankful for our empty places, being thankful for the parts of us that aren't where we'd like them to be. We could be thankful for desiring to be bigger than we are, to be stronger than we are, to be more growth-oriented than we are. And then we can look at the distance. That's what I want to be. This is what I am now. Not to come down hard on myself, but to see what's the distance between where I'd like to be and where I am today, and to think about how can I traverse that distance. The way for me to be thankful in that, I mean, I do think about the distance, but a tefillah that I use to be thankful for that is Borei Nefeshot. When I say the bracha, and it's this confusing bracha, when I say the after bracha for water, candy, other kinds of foods, lightweight types of food, so it's, thank you, God, for creating the world, Borei Nefeshot Rabot, for creating all different kinds of life forms, v'chesronan, and their deficiencies, and their lacks, and what they don't have. That's what chesronan is, chisaron, their chisronot, their deficiencies. Thank you for creating all different life forms and their deficiencies, and then thank you for creating the life force that makes them work. Basically, that's what that bracha is. So you can think about your own self. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for creating me with lacks. Please help me fill in my empty spaces. That's one way to think about it. And that's level one and important. Give yourself space to not be who you want to be and then grow towards who you want to be. But you can take it a level further. In your own family, in your workplace, in your schools, you can then say, thank you for creating that person. And thank you for creating their deficiencies. That gives them room to grow. That gives them spaces to fill in. That allows them to be a co-creator. Hashem created us, not asse Adam. Let us make man. One interpretation of the let us is God is speaking to us, saying, let us work together. I'll make the raw material, says God, and you finish off the job. I'll plop you into the world, an unfinished blob, and you make yourself into a mensch. That's why the brachot that we say in the morning are thank you, God, for not making me a non-Jew, for not making me a slave, for not making me a woman, or women are the only ones who get to say a positive one. Thank you for making me according to your will. But the other ones are in the negative because you can't say thank you for making me a Jew. Well, who says you're a Jew yet? Thank you for making me free. Who says you're free? Thank you for making me a man. Who says you're a man? Really, you can't even say thank you for making me. All you can say is thank you for not. And now let me grow into what I can become. Women have the extra special bracha that they get to say thank you for making me according to your will. So at least we have to start one foot forward. But we still have lots of work to accomplish. So saying Borei Nefeshot, I don't have the kavana each time. But I try, especially when I'm frustrated with myself or frustrated with a child. I say, thank you, Hashem, for making me the way you made me, empty spaces, places that need to be filled in, and thank you also for making my children that way, with room to grow. So, to maintain spiritual growth, you need to ask for help. And Hashem is there to help you. He can help you see the levels that you can't see into by yourself. And then you have to take the time to return to your goals and reevaluate, are your means achieving your goals? And then you have to give. You have to become bigger than yourself by attaching yourself to a mitzvah system, going out, reaching out beyond yourself, working on perfecting the world and perfecting yourself. Anybody who wants notes from that, you can take one of these cards.
Thank you.